Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action, episode 58. I'm Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So, happy holidays, Action. Merry Christmas belated. How was your holiday?
Oh, it was a great time. Very relaxing. Not all relaxing, but got back home and saw my family in Indianapolis and saw a few sports games here and there. Went to the Crossroads Classic on Saturday, which nice. Was a great time. Got to meet the mayor in the mayor's suite, and that was pretty dope.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Very nice guy.
Mayor of Indianapolis. Okay.
Yeah. The Hoosiers won, and then Purdue got pasted in that late game. That kind of stunk.
Wow.
But yeah. Outside of that, we were active too. Did some rock climbing, played quite a bit of tennis as well. Got outside and enjoyed this beautiful weather. How about yourself?
I mean, over the weekend, it was kind of, you know, pre-holiday stuff, a lot of shopping and so on. Put up the tree, all that kind of stuff. And then Christmas, Christmas Eve was at my aunt's house, Aunt Eileen's. They put out a spread, man. It's like prime rib, lobster tails, Alaskan crab legs. These crab legs are like as thick as my wrist. I mean, wow. It's insanity. So that was fun. And then yesterday, we were talking about before the podcast, it's kind of a little Oscar plug. I saw Uncut Gems. This is the movie with Adam Sandler about a Diamond District guy who's basically a gambling addict, and he just gets in really deep with gambling, and it's a fast-paced movie that you've got to see for sure, and our listeners should check it out. It's awesome. Sandler is not his typical, you know, Big Daddy or water boy. He's a serious guy and a troubled man in the movie, but really a great fast-paced, kind of like what they call a crime thriller, but it's just a really cool movie. So I checked that out yesterday with my mom. And
sweet.
Yeah, so definitely must see.
I read that this is one of the first serious roles that Sandler has played in his career, so definitely interested to see it.
It's interesting because the two guys that wrote it, I read a little bit about it, they're really young guys. Now they're like 36 and 33. They pitched this movie in 2009 when they were in their 20s, and they wanted Sandler initially, but he, you know, wasn't interested because they didn't know these guys. Yeah. And then they kind of had a hit at Cannes or something a few years ago. And now like everybody wanted to do their movies. And so he came back in and it's kind of star-studded. They got Kevin Garnett in there. You know, he's in there. Yeah. He has a great role. And you know, some other guys, Lakeith, what's his name? The guy from Atlanta is in there. There's some really great performances. So check it out. I know you guys will check it out and listeners should too. And I don't think he's going to win the Oscar, but he may get nominated. You never know.
Yeah, so, that would be cool.
Absolutely. Let's go over the episode briefly. It's going to be kind of our normal formula. College football, go over some bowl picks and some ideas in those games, especially the college playoff. We'll go over NCAA hoops and then some games we might be looking at in the next week or so. And then finally, we'll jump in the NFL. I will go over my Wegs Index, although it's been failing me tremendously. And the circuit contest, tete-a-tete, which, you know, we didn't do well again, America. Sorry, we're failing everybody. But regressing to the mean, we'll talk about the games this week and how we should approach week 17, which is a wacky week in the NFL.
Yep.
So here we
go. Wacky indeed.
Well, let's go into these college bowls. I mean, I don't know where we want to start, but I've put a couple wagers down this week, Action. I've not emptied the account, but I'm kind of like, hey, let me spread some money around, see if I can finalize the season.
Should we start off by touting our 2-0 record from last week's episode? San Diego State versus Central Michigan. Pretty dominant performance by the Aztecs. They got you to the window with a big win. And then just now, final, crazy game, Louisiana Tech blanking the Miami Hurricanes 14-0.
Yeah, it was most of the game was 7-0. I don't understand that game, but hey, we talked about that. I guess we did mention Kent State, did we, last time? Maybe we didn't.
We talked a little bit about Utah State, but the Jordan Love looming suspension kind of had us passing on that one.
Okay, good, because Kent State did end up winning that game.
Yeah, I did catch some of that. some of that Kent State game. Pretty wild back and forth affair. They ended up winning that one 51-41.
No doubt. So, okay, Touts 2-0, Side Action Pod, En Fuego, you know? So let's see. Well, let's start at a game that I'm interested in that's on my birthday, which is tomorrow, the 27th, probably when this airs.
Happy birthday, Wags.
Thank you. I know I'm probably not following an action principle here in motivation, as we've talked about a lot on this pod about college football is a lot about motivation, who's playing, but I don't know. I like this Aggies team. I like the A&M Aggies playing against Oklahoma State. I know that Oklahoma State has played pretty good this year. I mean, more or less. Mm-hmm. But I like A&M in the Texas Bowl, more or less a Holden game. It's down to 5.5 now. I did get it at 6.5, though. But I still think the Aggies are the better squad here. And because they weren't like at the upper echelon of the SEC, I think they're going to play hard here. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, definitely some interesting line movement in this one. The Texas A&M side opened up at -4, and it sounds like to me it got up almost close to that touchdown before some buyback on Oklahoma State. But mm-hmm. I do agree. I think that you're looking at two teams that have pretty stark contrasts in a strength of schedule. If you recall, mm-hmm. that A&M team played a gauntlet this year through the SEC and otherwise, and I think they're probably going to be a little bit more prepared in this one than Oklahoma State. So I agree with you. I think that's the right side.
Nice. Do you like any other games on the 27th?
I was potentially looking at the Air Force and Washington State game, okay. playing that under the total, but I haven't locked that one in yet. So going to keep my eye out on that one.
Gotcha.
I was interested.
Holiday Bowl is interesting, but yeah. I don't know. I stayed away. I do like USC. I've liked them all season, man. I've liked them. I think they're very talented. Iowa's one of those, you know, tough teams. But can they score, man? I don't know if they can score. I didn't bet this game, so I did not bet it. It's Iowa's favored by 2.5 points, and this is not a home game for USC, but it's not that far. It's in San Diego. USC fans probably will travel. I don't know. I mean, I know Iowa fans travel, but I don't know. USC is a pretty good ball club, but no, it's a stay away spot, I guess. I guess I ruled them out too early.
Yeah, I was thinking about that game, but I just can't really see Iowa going out there and playing well, and I also don't want to bet on USC. So I was slightly interested in North Carolina just because of the Temple coaching change, but the number is a little bit high right now. It looks like they're up to about 5.5 or 6 point favorites.
Yeah, that's a little bit more. It opened more like 4.5, right? So pushing the wrong way. Okay. Well, what about the 28th? Go ahead.
I was going to say, any other likes going over through the weekend?
Yeah, I've got on the 28th, I've got a game. Well, we could talk about the playoff, I guess. That's the playoff game. The other games I'm not that interested in. Memphis has been one of those darling SP Plus teams, and this obviously is in contrary to it with Penn State. It could be a good game in the Cotton Bowl, but I don't know which side to go on that one, so I'm staying away, as well as the Notre Dame-Iowa State game. I think Notre Dame probably is the better team, but I just don't like that they're not. I mean, it's the Camping World Bowl for Notre Dame, you know?
Yeah, hard to get motivated. Yeah.
Yeah, so if we talk about the playoff games, I'm all over Ohio State. And, I mean, I got it +2, and I think that's where it's at right now. I know that it probably is a better, probably I should bet on Clemson simply because I have a little future bet on Ohio State, but I'm also into just rolling with Ohio State every round. This is going to be a great game, probably even better than the title game. Who knows? But I really like Ohio State just as a team top to bottom, and we'll see if that strength of schedule comes to haunt Clemson in the end.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think that's the biggest thing that you can point to in this game, and just the stark contrast again in the strength of schedule. You got a Clemson team who played in a weak ACC and Ohio State who played, I think I heard somewhere that every single opponent, non-conference opponent, ended up winning their conference championship. So pretty impressive when you talk about Miami of Ohio, Cincinnati, and Florida Atlantic on their schedule.
Yeah, exactly. They played a great schedule, and they dominated all along the way, right? So have you got any money down on that game or no?
The thing that scares me is just Justin Fields and his health. I was reading reports yesterday where he came out and told the media that he is only feeling about 80%. So it's hard to put your money behind that when you've got a quarterback, especially who was so electric early in the season. And the last memory on my mind is him performing subpar against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship. So I don't know. I'll probably end up being on this game some way or another come Saturday, but I haven't bet it yet.
You also go to an in-game, obviously. That's a way to go. You're good at that. I did hear some interesting banter on VSiN that both Fields and Lawrence were basically the top quarterbacks coming out of Georgia at the same time, right? Huh. So they've been battling for years. Like, they were battling to be player of the year in Georgia. They, you know, they came out of the whatever that Elite 11, mm-hmm. you know, camp together. And I think Fields actually beat them out or something, I heard. So there's just been an internal rivalry here. There could be a lot of fireworks in this game. Pretty excited. I hope Fields does. I heard 85 to 90% this today. Okay. But okay. What the hell does that mean anyway? You know.
Right. Yeah. But, just bothers me that he's not certainly as mobile as he once was earlier in the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the other matchup? I've kind of downplayed it just because I feel LSU is going to roll. But in the Peach Bowl, that's LSU against Oklahoma. That's the earlier game. They LSU's 13.5-point favorites in that one, and the total is a robust 76. What do you think about that game?
Well, definitely interesting numbers in this one. You saw it briefly touch 14 at a couple of spots, and actually it looks mm-hmm. like still 14 at Bovada if you have interest in the dog. But most of the books have it at 13.5 right now, so kind of a precarious position for this one. But I'm actually looking at the total. 76 is a very high number, especially for a playoff game with such high stakes. But these two teams are incredible on offense, and we know that Oklahoma doesn't play much defense. And to be honest, LSU has been giving up a ton of points this season too. So I'm going to be actually putting some money on the over in this game, 76. I think you've seen a lot of money on the under, about 70% of tickets right now, but it hasn't budged ever since it came out. So I'm going to be playing this game over. What are your thoughts?
Okay. I mean, I do think LSU's the side. You know, the 13.5 is plenty. They've been covering all season. If it gets over 14, then you open the back door for Oklahoma. So you just got to, if you wait it out, if you're an Oklahoma person or want to bet the dog, then that's the way to go, I guess. But to me, it's at this point, it's LSU. In terms of the total, I mean, 76 is crazy, but I think last year, wasn't it a crazy total between Alabama and Oklahoma last year?
Yeah.
Wasn't the final like in the 80s?
Similar number, I believe. I don't recall what it closed at, but definitely in the 70s.
Yes. I don't think either team is going to try to slow the game down, because that's kind of the play when you look at these teams. I think if LSU plays Ohio State or somebody like that, it may not be a laser light show. It might be, hey, we're going to run the ball and limit Burrow's chances. In this case, it's going to be a basketball game. It's going to be up and down. So I like the over, too. I mean, I guess get it before it gets to 77, 11 touchdowns. But
when you're looking at totals that high, the numbers aren't quite as important, but probably true. Yeah. Definitely want to get it sooner than later.
Yeah, exactly. One of the things I didn't mention at the top was, you know, one of the VSiN tips I heard. I didn't get the bowl guide that they keep promoting, but they said that if you do like teams, then don't even bet the dog with the points. Just go money line.
Oh yeah. Because
I guess it's kind of an all or nothing affair. I mean, look at La Tech in this case, right? Because you're getting some juicy money line totals if you're 7-point, you know, dogs, you know. So I don't think Oklahoma's the one I would go for, but I'm just saying in general, it's a way to play it. I don't know, just going forward.
Yeah, definitely a good thing to think about. The point spread rarely comes into play, right? So might as well take that juicy underdog.
Exactly. So let's see. There's no games in the college on the 29th. That's the NFL night, NFL day. Monday, you know, I'm going with Florida here. I know that they may not have as much motivation to play as other teams, but I did bet on them. Let's see what number I got at. I got Florida at 14.5. I know it's a bad number. I know that, action, so you can scold me. But I don't think Virginia's that good, and Florida, I think, is good. I think 10-2, they had a very murderous row schedule, and I think Dan Mullen is trying to build something for the future, so I don't think they're going to be taking their foot off the gas pedal here. The total's 54.5, and it's in the Orange Bowl. That's got to be a little advantage for Florida. So anyway, I bet it 14.5.
Yeah, I think this is a great pick. I don't see how the Virginia team is going to be able to move the ball against that Florida defense. They have had trouble protecting Bryce Perkins all season long, and Now they're going up against a defensive front that is tenacious in the Gators. So when you are talking about a big number and an offense in Florida that doesn't really put up a ton of points, but I think on the flip side, the handicap is Bryce Perkins and that Virginia offense versus the Florida D. So I think they're certainly capable of covering this number.
Nice. Well, thank you. We'll see. On the 31st, I don't have any games highlighted here. There are five games on the slate. It's kind of a bummer because New Year's Day has four games.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Wild scheduling for sure.
Yeah. So I don't know if you're looking. You get any games interested in the 31st?
If we back up one day, I actually am riding on Monday night with the Fighting Lovie Smiths and the Illinois Fighting Illini. they're going up against that California team, which has not had that great of a season. They've been kind of rotating quarterbacks in and out, which has been quite a factor. But I think that you're going to have an Illinois team that is going to be hungry, which is going to their first bowl game in quite some time. And I think they're going to be prepared and they're going to be able to put some points up on Cal.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong there. My big fear with Illinois is they kind of, once they got bowl eligible, they kind of sucked, right? Yeah. They lost to Northwestern. I don't understand this team. Like, they played all these really good opponents well, and then they come out and they kind of, you know, they stunk in their last, well, they did stink against Iowa. They played them tough. But Northwestern at home, I don't understand what happened in that game. It was really weird. And that's kind of a rivalry game in a way, if there could be a rivalry game in, you know, college football in Illinois. Mm-hmm. But so I don't know. We'll see. I hear you. If you're going with the you're not doing money line, you just take it. You're six, laying the six.
Yeah, I think I'm going to take the points in that one, definitely.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. 31st, I don't have any interest in there, but what are you got any games you like in that slate on the 31st,
I'm
Tuesday?
Interested in the Arizona State and Florida State game a little bit. Mm-hmm. Probably would be backing Arizona State in that one. I think the coaching change at Florida State is probably going to be a major factor in this. And on the other side, you've got Herm Edwards, who's going to have his team more than prepared. So I think you got a huge coaching mismatch in that one.
And that one's at the Sun Bowl. Where's the Sun Bowl? That's in El Paso, Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Fighting Herms have had a good season. Florida State, I don't know how they're bowl eligible. I know they got six wins. They stink. Willie Taggart team's terrible. He's gone. But I don't see them fighting hard for the new coach or the interim coach. So I like that angle. Mm-hmm. Just didn't do it myself.
Any others you like later in the week?
Yeah, I do. I like Michigan against Alabama.
Okay.
Michigan's getting 7 points in the Citrus Bowl. Alabama obviously has a big letdown from not making the playoff. And I think the Michigan team, besides, of course, the second half of Ohio State, played really well down the stretch. And they're a good football team. And I don't know if Mac Jones, despite, you know, I don't know who's going to play for Alabama in this game, first of all, because there's a lot of wide receivers that they could go to the NFL. But on the flip side, you know, Michigan, if they can stand toe-to-toe, you know, at least a little bit with this Alabama team, I think they got a good shot. They've played much better down the stretch, and I'll take the 7 points in this case.
Yeah, I mean, looking at the list now, and at least a couple of defensive players are not going to play. Terrell Lewis, the linebacker. Raquan Davis, the defensive lineman, is questionable. And a couple of other defensive players, DJ Dale and Trevon Diggs, all out. Some of them sitting out to focus on the NFL draft. But I'm surprised not to see any of those wide receivers on this list. That's one thing where I figured at least Judy and a few of those others may be looking to sit out as well, but certainly something to monitor going forward. But regardless of all that, I agree. I think that Alabama is definitely going to be the team who is less focused on this game. You remember last season, it was Georgia who showed up against Texas and laid an egg.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you might have a similar situation in this one where Michigan is the more focused side.
Right. Absolutely. The other game I mentioned, I guess, before the pod is, and I took the advice of just going with the money line here. I like Oregon against Wisconsin. They're 2.5 point underdogs. 51.5 is the total. The money line I got was +125. I should check to see if I get a better one now. But no, I mean, it's still +125.
Uh-huh.
I think this Oregon team's super talented. I think that they really, in a way, almost a play away from the playoff. You know, the one play against Auburn that they gave up in the red zone for the touchdown, you know, they really should have won that game. they seemed to be playing that up-tempo style, which rolled them in the Pac-12 championship, and that's why they're in the Rose Bowl. Wisconsin is there more or less by default. They're a good team. We've seen them play really well, but they certainly haven't finished with a bang. And maybe they stayed sort of close with Ohio State, but they were really never in that game. So to me, I like Oregon just as a straight-up winner in this one, so I went with the money line.
Okay, and you said plus 125?
Plus 125.
That's pretty good odds for you. You're certainly making up quite a bit of juice there. I can't get to the window on this one, though. I just think that Wisconsin is a tough team and probably some big linemen there that the Oregon Ducks are quite not used to facing out there in the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have a hard time reading how they're going to play. I know that Oregon offensive line has been labeled as the best in the nation, but going against the Wisconsin right. defenders is going to be a little bit different, I think. Looking forward to watching it, but I'm probably going to sit on the sidelines on that one.
Okay. Are there any other games on New Year's Day that you like, either the Minnesota-Auburn or Georgia-Baylor game?
Yeah, I was looking at Auburn. I think just remembering last year when that Auburn team faced off against a Big Ten opponent, the Purdue Boilermakers, and they just ran all over them. I could see this one mm-hmm. playing out in a similar fashion. You've got Bo Nix, the freshman quarterback, who is likely getting right. some extra practice time here in this offseason, and
sure.
I think that they may be able to run Minnesota out again. The other game, Georgia-Baylor, again, I'm not sure how focused Georgia is going to be, similar to last season
right.
where they didn't show up. I wonder if you may see a similar performance. What do you think on that one?
I agree. It's a tough situation. Baylor, I guess I'm concerned to back Baylor here because the SEC does have better talent top to bottom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Georgia could potentially run out their second string and be able to run with Baylor. You know what I mean? I do think Georgia's not going to be as motivated for sure, you know, after losing again in the SEC championship game. But, I mean, 6 points is nice. I would definitely like it over a touchdown
yeah.
if I was going to take Baylor.
Right.
They probably won't get there, but I think it's priced in, you know, that they're kind of already saying, okay, well, they might not be motivated, but they'll win the game, right? So it'll be interesting, but I just stayed away from it personally.
Interesting looking at the board here, BetCris, which is usually labeled the sharpest book in the world, is already down to 4.5. Mm. And the rest of these books are 5.5, 6. So probably tells you where this one's going to continue heading by Wednesday.
Well, I mean, definitely that would be one if you – it's +6 here on Bet Online. It's +200 money line.
Mm.
That may be one of those rules. Why not jump in on the money line there? Because +200 is nice.
Yeah, I like it.
The last one that I have targeted, I was going to look at your Indiana Hoosiers.
I was waiting
but
for it.
I got a little scared, man. I know, but I'm scared because they, you know what? I got to be honest with you. It's not a game anybody's going to watch, probably, the Texas Slayer Bowl, or Tex Slayer Bowl, I'm sorry. Tennessee's been one of my darling teams, man. These are my two darling teams. I can't pick against either of them. It's like picking against children. So I like the Vols quite a bit, and I love the Hoosiers. So 1.5, it's, and if you look at, SP Plus, I mean, these guys are pretty close,
yeah.
you know? I mean, obviously, Indiana's better, but at the same time, the Vols haven't been to a big show either in a while. So both teams are going to duke it out. I think it's going to be exciting. Both teams are young, and so I just want to watch the game, be one of the only people watching. But I just didn't – I couldn't bet on it, man. I couldn't bet on my kids.
Yeah, I think it's probably appropriately lined. I know 4 people that will be watching, my parents, my brother, and sister-in-law. They're going down to Jacksonville
yep.
for it, so they'll be there in the stands.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But I agree. I'm passing on that one as well. I think that as an Indiana fan, I probably would want to bet against them, but I think it's lined right.
Mm-hmm.
Any others?
On the other side, yeah, I like Cincinnati
okay.
in the Birmingham Bowl. Mm-hmm. I mean, BC, I'm, again, another one of these ACC crappy teams like Florida State that at 6-6, I don't know how they got in. I know it's 6, I guess you get you bowl eligible no matter who you play. But this Cincinnati team's good, and they're really tough, and I like them a lot. 7 points is, you know, it's a full touchdown. We don't love that, but it's college football. It's not the pros, and I end up having to pay a little bit extra juice, though, minus, you know, 116 on it. But I'll take the Bearcats. They've been a really good team. They only lost three games, and two of them were against, you know, Memphis, who's really good, top 10 team,
mm-hmm.
and then the other one is against Ohio State. So what the hell? This team's really good. I mean, they're going to roll them, I think.
Yeah, so you got 7 minus 116, you said? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yeah, definitely key to stay there on that touchdown. I'm not sure if there's any 7.5s that popped up, but right. SP Plus has this as Cincinnati winning by 12. So you're definitely on the right side of that one. And you're right, when you look back, they did lose to Memphis twice, but they ended up covering spread in both of those games. So this Bearcat team is definitely one that is been covering a lot of numbers this season. And I think you're right. You're getting the better team there and a coach in Luke Fickell who always has his team prepared. So I like that one a lot as well.
All right. Well, I'm trying, Action. I'm trying to win back some money.
All right. Are you you betting on your Raging Cajuns again in the last bowl game?
I am. All right. I am. But that's the sixth. I was going to leave it for next week. But yes, of course I'm betting on the Raging Cajuns. Yeah, they're – I mean, come on, man. I love the Raging Cajuns. And they're playing who? Like some Our Lady of the Worthless Miracle or something in Miami of Ohio. Yeah,
you're right. We can hit that handicap next week.
That,
for sure.
Yeah, and I know that they won the MAC, but I love my Raging Cajuns. So, anyway, we'll talk about it next week.
Good call.
All right, well, let's briefly touch about NCAA basketball now. You did update your Action Power ratings,
right? I did, yeah. Yesterday, Christmas Day, as we were waiting for the rest of the family to arrive, I updated the ratings, and not a ton of shakeup. We've got Duke at the top with a very healthy rebounding adjustment, a couple of points better than Ohio State now at number two, and then you've got Kansas at three, Michigan State and Gonzaga. 4-5, the newly minted number one, Gonzaga, I'll mention.
Yeah, I saw that.
And then 6 is Louisville, 7 Maryland, 8 is Baylor, new team to the top 10, and number 9, Butler, and Auburn still up there at number 10. So definitely some movement there towards the bottom of the top 10. I'm looking now, you got San Diego State just outside too, which is just behind Auburn. I've been watching the Aztecs play a little bit, and they play some serious defense.
Yeah, they do. There's some teams that we didn't really talk about in the preseason preview that we should have, I guess. San Diego State being one of them. Definitely Butler. I mean, Butler, man, this team is good. I mean, I'm trying to find, I guess I'll have to go to a casino somewhere, trying to get, you know, Big East futures on them. You know, they were not at the top, you know, with Seton Hall and Nova and everybody and Marquette. So it's probably too late to jump on board and get a really good value, but that team is legit. They're beating everybody.
Oh, yeah. I saw them in person on Saturday, and I tell you what, they took it to Purdue. Kind of a worthless offense for the Boilermakers, but that Butler team also gets down and dirty on the defensive end. So definitely can't wait.
What's their offense like? Who's scoring for them?
Well, you've got the point guard, Kamar Baldwin, who is really their best player, but they've got another smaller guard named Thompson, who I was impressed with. He was getting to the basket with relative ease. And then they've got a big center, Rick Smith's kid. I forget his first name, but I was surprised to see him out there playing well also.
Nice. The Flying Dutchman's kid. That's awesome. That's great. Well, that's cool, man. I mean, obviously, I was able to dig into some of my numbers more this week. There aren't a lot of college basketball games that are out there, but there's some good ones. I do have some highlights if we have time.
Yeah.
One of the games that I wanted to talk about, which kind of pits some top 10 teams, is the Louisville-Kentucky matchup. Mm-hmm. And this is in Kentucky this year. That's on Saturday. Pretty exciting game. I mean, Louisville's higher in your rankings, and I believe, right?
Yeah.
And then also then in the KenPom. But, you know, Rupp Arena and everything, it should be a hell of a matchup.
Yeah, definitely can't wait to watch that one. I've actually think that this one might be Kentucky getting a point or two at home, which will be very interesting to see if that happens. But you do look at that Louisville defense, number 2 in the KenPom ratings and 11 on offense. So they are certainly one of the top teams in the league. And I think they're going to have a stiff test in the Kentucky Wildcats at Rupp Arena.
Agreed. If they can survive this one, then maybe they're back up to number 1, but we'll see what happens. Another game that I looked at on Sunday, which involves, you know, I know your dad is going to be excited about this one. Indiana's playing Arkansas, and they're at home, and this is going to be a hell of a game as well. Arkansas is actually pretty good, too. Yeah, they're really, really close in KenPom's rankings anyway, 34th and 37th the last time I checked. And Arkansas, if I'm not mistaken, that's Musselman, right?
You got it.
Musselman's there. So this is a battle of pretty good coaches, and obviously these teams are playing pretty well in the quote-unquote preseason. love that there's this kind of cross-sectional matchup. I'll admit, though, if I see a lot of points on the Razorbacks, I'm going to jump on them.
Yeah, I mean, Indiana definitely has been a little bit lackluster on defense, but this is actually a game where I was targeting an under. Musselman has come in and really changed the way that Arkansas has been playing this season. They're playing a lot slower pace, and they're top 10 in defense. So the last couple of games, Indiana has slowed it down. They're now 158th in pace, and I think that this one is going to be pretty ripe for an under on Sunday in Bloomington. Total projection on my numbers is 140, but I would probably go under anything near 137 or 138.
Gotcha. I wasn't looking at betting this game, but there is a pretty cool matchup as well. It looks like Ohio State's playing West Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's like a nice matchup this weekend. But I wasn't looking at betting. One I am looking at betting is Seton Hall coming to DePaul on Monday.
Nice.
So look out. The Blue Demons are red hot. They're not that good in KenPom. They're 62 compared to Seton Hall 21. But this team has been beating people, and they're playing here in Chicago, and there's a little bit of a buzz. In fact, I may have told you, you know, we coach basketball, of course. One of our guys who played on our team a couple years ago just committed to play DePaul.
Oh, cool.
Played DePaul. So he'll be a point guard. I guess it's next year or something like that. So pretty exciting. So that's a game I'm looking at. I got to see the total, obviously, or see the point spread, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah, it looks like by my numbers, probably about a pick 'em. You might find DePaul getting a point, perhaps. Definitely one to watch. It looks like KenPom has Seton Hall by a single point in that one.
Gotcha. And then the last game I'm interested in this week for the slate is, well, I'm not going to say your, I'll say my buddy Sing Yu's Carolina Tar Heels, who they're just plummeting. They're 7-5, and they're 40th in KenPom. They're playing Yale. Yeah, they're hosting Yale, I believe.
Yeah.
And Yale's like 72. Yale's decent. You know, this is a team that I'm hoping there's a big number that North Carolina can't cover, and I'll take Yale if I'm so inclined.
Yeah, they're obviously. I think we talked about it last week. North Carolina is now without Cole Anthony and a totally different basketball team, and they are just putrid on offense now, 300th in offensive field goal percentage. So you, on the flip side, have a Yale defense which is 7th defending field goal percentage. So definitely a number worth looking at. I've got North Carolina about 8 points better at home. So I think that if you see a nice 8 or 8.5, you should definitely jump all over it.
Nice. Well, I'll be looking for it. So are there any games you're interested in that I haven't mentioned?
Yeah, you touched on most of them. It looks like rolling into the holiday, there's a few more Big East games. Butler plays St. John's and Georgetown and Providence on New Year's Eve. And then on the first, there's a good couple of games as well, Marquette and Creighton. And
I've got that too.
So definitely a lot of college basketball that you can sprinkle in your college football watching.
That's right. Just change it up, get ready for the – and I'll start – you know, on wegspool.com, I'll start writing up college basketball every week, you know, starting next week. So transition into the end of the year here.
Alrighty.
So exciting. Well, let's go to our favorite segment, the NFL segment. What can be said, Action? We had another rough week, but you plug away. It's week 17. This is when, you know, most of the teams have already qualified. There are some scenarios out there that we'll discuss here. But, you know, I'll go over the WEGS Index quickly, although it may not be relevant this week. The top team, shocker, Ravens, 3.0. They're way up there. Patriots have moved ahead now at number 2 at 4.2. 49ers at 5.3. Here's a nice change up. The Chiefs are the fourth team at 7.3.
Like
Vikings at 7.7. And then the Saints at 8.0. Let's not talk about the Cowboys at 9.2. Okay. So with the Chiefs, I did put down a future to win the Super Bowl.
No way. I did it yesterday.
Yes, I did.
Great minds.
Did you really?
Great minds think alike.
Awesome,
what number did you get?
I think it was 6-1. Let me double check. What did
Thankfully,
you get?
I was in Indiana. I logged into my FanDuel account, and I got the Chiefs at 750. So a little bit more value there.
Woo! That a boy. It was bet online, obviously. So I'll double check it while we're talking here. Yeah, I mean, look, we not just because they played the Bears, obviously watched them crush the Bears. Yeah, six. I got 6-1. Good job, man. You got an extra plus 150 there. Should have had you put it down there. Look, we've been talking about this a little bit. I think that the defense is playing good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to say that about a Chiefs team that has sucked for probably the better part of like 5 years where they haven't played well since Eric Berry was really, really healthy. Now it's like they've gone like 3 weeks in a row and they haven't given up more than like 10 points. I mean, it's just impressive. And I mean, the Bears stink, right?
But yeah.
They've done it against other teams too. And I just think that when push comes to shove with that offense, all they have to do is hold somebody to like 20 points and they're going to win.
Yeah.
So I really like them. And obviously it's a showdown between them and the Ravens, you know, shaping up that way anyway. But they might be able to avoid the Ravens. If they win this week, they can avoid the Ravens and go to New England and beat New England and then go to, you know, go to Baltimore in the championship game. So
yeah, and I'm all up. I mean, if you look back, they beat Baltimore, if you remember, in week 3. So they've already handled the Ravens, albeit it was on their home turf, but you're spot on. Sure. It's the defense. They've been playing excellent football the last couple of weeks. Just not giving up hardly any points. They've now covered in five straight games as well. So yep. Certainly a team that is really hitting their peak right at the opportune time.
Yeah, just to give you a comparison, you know, for the whole season, they're giving up 19.1 points a game versus the 49ers, which everybody thinks is a much better defense. They're up to 19.3 points a game. So, hey, I mean, they're getting it done, man. So I'm all on board.
Where do the Patriots rank in that metric?
Patriots, they're 13.2 points a game. they're number one by far because, you know, they had so many games early in the season like that. But really, you know, the Ravens are 18.1. They've improved tremendously. And then you got like a Vikings 18.8. You know, so basically it's the Patriots and everybody else, but the Ravens are right there too. That's why they're at the top of the metric.
Yeah, but overall. I mean, if you also recall just a few weeks ago, the Chiefs went to New England and put mm-hmm. up 23 on them. So they're certainly capable. We know that. And I'm right there with you. I think the Chiefs are a very solid bet for a Super Bowl winner.
Nice. And they were my pick preseason, so I'm just trying to reinforce that and win some money.
There you go.
You know? Okay, well, let's, you know, we won't have to recap. By the way, you know, we went 1-4 this week in the Circa. Thank you, Chiefs.
Yeah, right.
The Chiefs came through, right? I don't know, man. I don't know what to say. I mean, I guess the favorites started covering a little bit this week, right? That kind of what was happening. I mean, there was a lot more favorites that came in.
Mm-hmm.
Some surprising outcomes in certain regards, but at the same time, it was like, I don't know, some favorites, I mean, like Seattle, and you talked about Cardinals. We talked about it on Saturday. I should have gone with you on the Cardinals because that was a good pick. Obviously, they went out right over Seattle, and there were some other ones. The Redskins really let us down, though. They looked – I don't know what happened to that defense because they played good for a few weeks there.
Yeah.
They stunk against Daniel Jones.
41 points to the Giants is just inexplicable. And then you had Tennessee, which couldn't stop New Orleans as well in that game. And then how about Monday night? I was shocked by that outcome. Unfortunately, didn't get to see much of it. But Minnesota getting beat at home by Green Bay was a surprising outcome.
Well, they at one point, I think they said that Minnesota had like one first down in the first half or something. I mean, it was really a baffling situation. They had two quick turnovers that they cashed in on to get up early, and then they not only couldn't stop the Packers because the time of possession was like 39 to 22 or something like that. It was all in favor of the Packers. They couldn't get off the field after the Vikings just every time was 3 and out. And I guess Dalvin Cook makes a big difference because they weren't committing to the run and they were making, they're paying man coverage all over the place with zone behind it. They couldn't get it done. So it was kind of a disappointing outcome. And it kind of makes me feel a little scared to pick the Vikings in the playoffs now. Yeah. I was really all on them. But you know, even with Dalvin Cook, I'm like, wow. I mean, if that's a game plan that works, why not do it with Cook in the lineup? You know, we'll see. Anyway, well, let's go over this week's this week's stellar choices. You know, we get all of the games for once. We don't have to put in any picks early. You know, we could pick them all if we want
to. Yeah.
We've got them all on Sunday. The first game is Cleveland is playing at the Bengals. The Bengals are a one-win team. You might have forgot that. The Cleveland is a 2.5-point favorite on the road. The total is 43.5, according to BetOnline. Boy, both these teams have zero motivation. Mm-hmm. I can't pick either team, but I don't know about how you feel. Maybe you have a different view of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a tough one to pick. Cincinnati did lock in that number one selection in the draft, so they certainly could win a game if they choose to. But having said that, they've been playing very poorly all season. They're certainly the worst team in the league, and I'm not sure that you could take them plus 2.5 or 3. It looks like 2.5 in the contest, so I agree. Right. I think it's probably a pass.
Yeah, that's a rough one. The next one, okay, here we go. The Bears, who, you know, obviously were out of the playoffs anyway, and they look terrible against the Chiefs. They get to go to Minnesota, and Minnesota has nothing to play for. So Minnesota is just a small one-point favorite there with a total being 37. I suppose the side is the Bears here, although I don't know if I can really back that. I guess it's 1.5 in the contest. I'm sorry. Misspoke there. But I guess it's Bears or pass, but I don't feel super strongly about that.
Yeah, I mean, you do recall the last time they played the Vikings at Soldier Field, they were really getting after Kirk Cousins. And after having seen the game log from this past weekend against Green Bay, you think that that's really the crux of this Minnesota offense right now. So I would expect that the Bears are probably going to have some success getting after Cousins. But at the same time, it's really hard to handicap this game because you know that Minnesota has nothing to play for. So in a very similar situation last season, remember, the Bears went into Minnesota and upset them. So I don't know what to do in this one. Probably a pass.
Yeah, it's a pass at this point. But, man, we're going to have to come up with 5, I guess, because we're going to finish out the contest, actually. Yeah. Okay, so the next one is another interesting one, a Who Cares Bowl, although I think there's some motivation. You've got Tampa Bay is hosting Atlanta. I've got Tampa at – it's a pick in the contest. Mm-hmm. In BetOnline, they're a one-point favorite. 47.5 is the total. It's a tough one. These teams are really close in the index. It originally came out, if I'm not mistaken. I know it's been a pick, I guess. I just don't know the motivation. I think that it seems like Tampa's playing hard. Of course, Jameis did – you know, he Jameis'd like he always does. Mr. Pick Six. You know, his opening two throws were going to be pick sixes. Did you see that?
No.
His first throw was a pick six. His second throw was a pick, and it was called back on a block in the back because it was returned to the house. So anyway, crazy. But I don't know if you would go on either side of this game.
No, probably not. I do think that the Sharps have been backing Tampa Bay a lot this season, and I think it's due to that offense. Yep. But I think we saw last week they're certainly not the same offense without their full complement of wide receivers. So I think it's probably a tough one to put your money behind.
I guess the only thing I would say, maybe the over, 47.5. That's not too high of a total, but again, you don't know. He doesn't have his full complement of receivers, like you said.
Well, so. I mean, Tampa Bay has been crushing overs, and in fact, the totals have been dropping every week too. I've been following that. Last week versus Houston was the first under that came in quite a while for the Buccaneers.
Yeah, exactly. No doubt. Okay, well, next game. I've got the Saints against the Panthers. Another, you know, yippee-ki. Actually, the Saints have motivation here. This is a true motivation. If they win this game, they can be the one seed, basically, if some other things happen. So they're going to be motivated. They're in the early time slot, so they're not going to know about the outcomes in other games. They're 13-point favorites on the road against Carolina, who is cratered. The total is 45. I guess that's, you know, that's the same as the contest line. So I guess you back the Saints at 13, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably lean to that side. You saw this Panthers team come into Indianapolis last week and just get pasted. Will Greer couldn't really do much on offense, and I expect that the New Orleans Saints are going to have a similar successful day, even on the road. So I would agree it's probably the Saints or pass.
The one thing I will say about – because I watched that Titans-Saints game intently for our pick. The Saints offense is rolling again. It was kind of lulling when Breeze first came back. And even though everybody in America knows he's throwing to Michael Thomas, somehow the guy gets 20 targets a game and 13 catches with a touchdown. It's baffling. Plus Kamara, who sucked for me in fantasy – was really good the other day. He actually looked smooth. He looked explosive. So, yeah, that might be one of my picks there on the Saints, but, you know, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Next one I got here is the Jets against the Bills. The Bills are locked into the 5 seed in the AFC. Not real motivation there. Bills are 1.5 point favorites at home against the Jets. The total's 36. I mean, I guess, do you think Buffalo plays hard? I don't see it. The Jets are bad, but they could hang in there, right?
Buffalo is locked into their seeding as well?
They are. Okay. They're locked in the 5 seed no matter what.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's presumably why this number has gone from 4.5 down to 1.5, where you see it across the board.
Right.
I think that this is probably a spot where you could still back Buffalo, because I think you've got a team with superior talent. They're certainly not going to lie down mm-hmm. on defense. And you've got right. Josh Allen and a quarterback who doesn't really blow you away anyways. So, I mean, is there a difference between Josh Allen or the backup, even if he plays? Probably not that much.
Right.
I would warrant a move like this.
Right.
I don't even know who they're backup.
Okay, so you're saying it opened at 4.5 and then dropped down to 1.5. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I mean, it is some value there. I can see that. I mean, we'll see what our other options are, I guess. Okay. But, you know, like I said, I may have not said this at the top. I'm not betting any of these NFL games personally because I just can't. There's just too many weird variables to stick with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some totals. But, you know, at this point, I'm laying off till the wild card round besides the contest here.
Right.
The next game is the Dolphins against the Patriots. The Patriots are a heavy 16-point favorite at home against the Dolphins. 44.5 is the total. I don't know if you want to bet the money line here. It's minus 1,050. But they've got to win. No, actually, no, they're locked in too, right? Yeah, they're locked in the two. No, they have to win.
Yes, Kansas
right.
City
they have
catch
to win
them?
This game to keep the Susie. Okay. Yes, if New England loses and Kansas City wins, they will catch and jump the Patriots. Okay. So the Patriots, they have to win. That's kind of baked into this price, I'm sure. You probably have to back the Patriots here. Do you think the Dolphins are going to go up to, although it's probably balmy in New England this weekend.
True.
But, you know, they don't care. Although, I mean, Fitzmagic's been playing ball, man. I mean, he played good against last week. They thought that they laid out against the Bengals, and they didn't. But, yeah, I mean, it's a stay away at 16, though. That's a big number.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins have definitely had the Patriots' number, but those games are usually in Miami. And
that's right.
New England's definitely going to be motivated in this one. I could certainly see it at a spot that Miami just lays down, and this becomes an easy cover for the favorite. But I certainly agree mm-hmm. that 16 is too many points.
Okay, the next game, Green Bay against Detroit. Detroit is sucking. 43.5 is the total. Green Bay is a 12.5-point favorite on the road. It's a big number, but they are highly motivated. They can be the one seed still. If they win and the Saints – actually, they can – they're ahead of the Saints in the standings right now. They're actually the two seed right now. So if they win and then – I think it's if San Francisco loses or something, they jump to the one seed. So highly motivated team here against a team that – I guess Patricia's coming back. I'm not sure how. But the Lions have just cratered the second half of the season. So – any interest in 12.5 on the road with the Pack?
Yeah, I think so. I heard on a radio show last week that it sounds like the management giving Patricia a vote of confidence early kind of gave them license to tank these last couple of weeks.
Mm.
And I think you saw that on the field last week where they got beat down by Denver.
Yeah.
And I think that there's lining up for a similar situation this Sunday against Green Bay. And on the other side, you mentioned, Green Bay wants to go out and prove it, win this game to lock up that top seed, or second seed rather, but I definitely could fade the Lions here.
Okay, we'll put a check on that one too. The last game in the early slot is the Chargers going to the Chiefs. The Chiefs are 9-point favorites at home. The total is 45.5. It's 8 in the contest.
Mm-hmm.
So even better, it's a better number because on BetOnline it's 9. To me, this is Chiefs all the way. They're going to blow this team out. They want to get the 2 seed. They're in the early time slot. And I don't think the Chargers have anything to play for. They looked I don't know what's with that team. But bottom line, I mean, they lost to the Raiders. I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could call it a home game. We talked about it last week. It's more or less a away game when they play the Raiders. But the Chiefs all the way, man. They've been covering numbers, and that defense is going to shut down Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is an easy pick. I'm on board with the Chiefs as well. It's already up to 9 and looking like it might be 10 across the board here. So mm-hmm. 8 points in the contest is definitely some value.
Sweet, sweet. We go to the 4 o'clock or, you know, the later games. The first one is the Titans against Houston. The Titans, I guess in the contest, should check that out. They're 3.5 point favorites on the road at the Texans. The Texans will know their fate typically, or, you know, more or less, if they, you know, if the Chiefs win, then they're basically locked into that 4 seed. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that the Titans have to win to get in. If they lose, then they just have to watch the scoreboard with the Steelers and or Raiders. So I guess you back the Titans here at 3.5. I wish it was a better number. 3.5 is not a great number, but I guess it's Titans or pass.
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know why, I can't put my finger on it, but I feel like this is a spot where going contrarian with the Texans and taking the points is going to mm-hmm. be the winning side. And I mm-hmm. can't tell you why. Mm-hmm. I haven't really had a chance to dig into the metrics at all, but even mm-hmm. though there's little motivation, I think that you may see a Texans team come out and play well this weekend to knock out their division rival. I mean, there's something to be said about that, where they can keep their mm-hmm. rival out of the playoffs. So I would probably be interested in throwing in a contrarian play here. What do you think about that?
Well, if you follow the index, that is one of the index picks, action. Uh-huh. I don't know if that makes you feel comfortable with the way the index has performed the last couple of weeks.
Yes, it does.
But yeah, I mean, the line is heavy. It's a heavy line. I mean, the teams are very close, and you're basically saying Tennessee is a 6.5 point favorite, mm-hmm. you know, at home, which they wouldn't be. So if Houston has any motivation, and I do believe there's something to that, because now the Texans are looking at playing the Bills if they, you know, fall to the 4 spot. Uh-huh. And then, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I think that you always want to end a rival. I actually wrote it up in the article this week about the NFL that I still remember a few years back when the Bears actually had home field advantage or something, and they had a chance to beat Green Bay at Green Bay.
Yep.
And they didn't. Green Bay got into the playoffs, and they went for the wild card, and they won the title, yep. including beating the Bears at home in the NFC title game. And it was like they could have knocked them out then, and they didn't. And it's like, take your chance now. There's no reason why not. You shouldn't do that.
Yeah, definitely. And when you look at this division, they're so evenly matched. It seems like every week the favorite, it's a home favorite by 3, and the mm-hmm. games are so tight. I think that there's pretty good value getting the hook in this one.
Okay. Well, definitely one we can consider there. I'm on board with that. The next one is, let's see, I got Indianapolis playing the Jaguars. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. There's no real motivation here. The Colts are 3.5 point favorites on the road. The Jags have kind of given up. The total's 42.5. Sorry, I haven't mentioned totals the last couple games. But it's an interesting scenario, though. The Raiders don't have they have like a very small glimmer of hope for the playoffs, but it involves the Colts. Huh. So the Colts have to lose or something. The Colts have to win. The Colts have to win because it's some sort of strength of schedule metric. Huh. Because obviously the Raiders beat them. So the Colts have to win, and then the Titans and Steelers have to lose for the Raiders. Somehow the Raiders will jump the Titans, even though the Titans beat them head up. Don't explain to me why, but that's what they say online. So, yeah, so it's kind of a weird scenario. But so the Colts don't have motivation for themselves, but the Raiders are very excited about the Colts winning this game.
I mean, I think when you look at this one, you see, again, another team that's kind of quit on the season in the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm-hmm. This one actually is strange. It opened as the Jaguars -1.5 and has now moved mm-hmm. a full 5 points to the Colts -3.5 road favorites. And I think that's probably to do with this Jacksonville team that has just been playing horrible. They have one cover in their last 7 games. And that was at Oakland, where they won inexplicably. But I think on the mm-hmm. other side, you've got an Indianapolis team who's playing for some jobs, namely the quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. There's already discussion in the Indianapolis media as to what the Colts should do in the offseason about the quarterback position. So I would expect that their offensive game plan is going to be ripe for the taking. And I think that Indianapolis would probably be the pick for me.
Okay. No, I can see that. It's got to be there. The Jaguars have – I don't know why they fire Coughlin but not Marone. It's weird. Weird stuff, but it's a disaster down there. Okay, the next game is the Redskins against Dallas. This is one of two games in the NFC East that mean something. Actually, there's two games, of course. Dallas is heavily favored here. They're 10.5-point favorites at home against the Redskins. The total is 45.5. A week ago, I would have been all over the Redskins here because of the way they're playing, but I don't really know what happened last week. Plus, it appears that what's his name? Haskins is out. I don't know, maybe they don't play as well with Haskins out of the lineup. But the Dallas has to win to stay alive, and they have to play at the same time as Philly. So they're going to play hard, even though we know that the clapper stinks. So I guess it would be the Cowboys or pass. Hard for me to back the Cowboys right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that this number has gotten a little bit out of hand, too, when you're looking at 10.5. So mm-hmm. I'm in total agreement. I think it's probably going to be a pass. I would expect they come out victorious, but this is certainly a big number.
Absolutely. The next game is Philadelphia at the Giants. Philly wins and they're in. They obviously beat Dallas in the head-to-head matchup last week. And this time, there are 4.5-point favorites on the road. Sorry, I keep looking at the wrong one. Let's see. Come on, Eagles. Yeah, 4.5-point favorites on the road at the Giants. The total is 45. You got to figure the Eagles are going to cover this number. I mean, they got to win this game, right? I mean, this is a winner in. I don't love this team, but, man, but the Giants played decent last week. What do you think?
I'm betting on the Giants here. I think it's, again, okay, another big contrarian spot. The whole world thinks that, oh, the Eagles, they beat the Cowboys last week. Surely they'll go into New York and ride off into the sunset and take their division crown into the playoffs. Not so fast. I think that this team is not very good, and I expect that the Giants are going to rise up and play pretty well this weekend. You've already seen this number move from 5 down to 4.5, despite 29% of the bets on the Giants. So gives me all indication that they might be the side in this one.
Okay. I'm not against that. I think that that's certainly a possibility, and it would not shock me that they lose this game outright. I mean, the Giants had a beat. They had to go to overtime in Philly to beat them. So, you know, maybe they'll just say spoiler. You know, they're motivated to be a spoiler. So the next game is the Steelers at the Ravens. This is listed in our contest as Steelers at 1.5, but in BetOnline it's a pick. So a little contrary there. The total is 37. The Steelers have to win and the Titans have to lose for the Steelers to make the playoffs. They lost their control of their destiny by losing at the Jets in a pathetic game. And your boy, Duck Hodges, got benched, but Mason Rudolph got hurt, so he came back in. So he's starting again. I already burned his jersey. Sorry.
Up in flames.
Any interest in backing the Steelers who are playing the Ravens that are basically sitting Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram, who had a calf strain?
You know, this is another spot that I was eyeballing already, watching this line move and thinking to myself, I'm going against the line move. I think I'm going to be taking the Ravens in this one. Looks like there's two and a half, but contest was 1.5, right? I think the Ravens are the play here. This is screams to me a spot where the whole world expects the Steelers just to walk over and win this game. But RG3 is certainly a capable quarterback, and I'm sure they're going to be running the same offense that they've been playing with Lamar. And I think that the Ravens are going to win this game.
Well, forget about RG3. The Steelers can't score.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the Jets are okay defensively, but the Steelers haven't really scored over 20 points in God knows how long. I don't think the Ravens are going to have any trouble. I mean, I know the Steelers have a good defense, but the bottom line is if they just can run the ball a little bit, the Ravens are going to score 10, 14 points. Yep. I don't think the Steelers can. So unless they create turnovers with RG3, it's hard to see the Steelers scoring. So I can see why you would take points in this one.
Yeah, I think you're spot on there. The wrong team might be favored despite all of the players sitting out for Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Two more games, the Raiders and Broncos, another Who Cares Bowl. The Broncos are hosting the Raiders. This is technically the last game. The Raiders will be the Oakland Raiders as they go to Vegas. The Broncos are 3.5-point favorites at home. The total is 41. I guess the Broncos are the play here. They've been playing better, but they're just two teams I can't get excited about.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't really have any interest in thinking about this one either. You've got the Raiders team who I guess they do still have that one glimmer of hope. for the playoffs. So interesting to see them as such large underdogs in this game.
Mm-hmm. Because they stink. Yeah. I mean, they played good last week against the Chargers, but they obviously lost to the Jaguars at home. I mean, I just question, you got to wonder if Carr's going to be back. Probably not. Sure. There's a lot of question marks here. Josh Jacobs, I don't think he's going to play. I don't know why he would play, you know, with the broken shoulder and all that. But, I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, maybe Chucky can rally the troops for, hey, we can win this and have everything fall our way. But, again, it's all happening at the same time. So we'll see what happens. And the Broncos have played fairly well down the stretch anyway.
True. They have.
The last game is really the only game that has direct significant, you know, influence in, you know, there's not like a bad opponent playing a good opponent or somebody sitting down. You've got the 49ers. They're going to Seattle. Seattle is, you know, if they basically, the team that wins here is going to be the division champ of the NFC West. It gets a little more complicated on who's going to be the one seed because of Seattle's loss to Arizona last week. Seattle cannot get the one seed if Green Bay wins, basically. Mm-hmm. I think that they will – I guess if Green Bay and the Saints win and Seattle wins, they'll be the Seattle will be the three seed. But, you know, so they can get to the one, I guess, theoretically. But San Francisco wins the game, they'll be the one seed, period. It's that simple. They are the three-point favorite, or 3.5 points in the contest.
Wow.
Three on BetOnline with a total of 47. I find this a little bit strange. However, Seattle has tons of injuries now, right?
Yeah.
They lost Chris Carson for the season. They lost Rashard Penny. They lost, is it not Procise? Who's the other back they lost? They lost like two backs last week. They brought back Marshawn Lynch, for God's sake. Right?
Yeah, Marshawn. Skittles.
Skittles. They gave him a year's supply of Skittles to play. Plus, I don't know if Clowney's playing. He's missed the last two games. He better play because that defense looks like crap. So I can understand why the 49ers are favored. The only thing is 3.5 is a big number, and obviously Seattle did take them apart in San Francisco. But they're two different teams.
Yeah,
now.
It's so true. I think that this is a really tough game to handicap because of all those injuries. I just don't see Marshawn Lynch coming out there and being able to run very well at all. And then you're looking at a game that is going to be relying on Russell Wilson and the passing game, and they're going up against that stout 49ers defensive line. So not really a good recipe for Seattle's chances on Sunday. But on the other side, I'm not really sure I want to lay 3.5 with the road division team here. I mean, can you get behind the 49ers? What do you think?
I can't.
Yeah.
They haven't played that well. That defense is a shell of themselves. I mean, they were so good midseason, and I know that they lost Quan Alexander, but what's going on with this team? I mean, everybody's scoring. The Rams were lighting them up, you know, and that was kind of surprising. They actually had to come from behind in that game to win. They haven't looked that great in recent weeks, so it's going to be an interesting game. I think that, to me, it's a stay away, even though it's probably the premier game of the weekend and obviously exciting to watch. But I would probably prefer if we could find another pick out of this group.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should pass on this one as well.
Okay, nice. We've got some picks in there.
Yeah.
Got some picks. I mean, some of them match up. I'm not going to go full index picks this week, but your Houston pick was definitely in there. Your Baltimore pick was in there. As clear, you know, contrarian plays, they're index plays. And then the Buffalo, taking the Buffalo 1.5 would have been in there too. So,
I think we did, you know, did skip the other NFC West game. I think it's off the board probably.
Oh,
yeah, the Cardinals and Rams.
Shoot, sorry.
No problem. It appears to be off the board, and for the life of me, I can't tell you why. Maybe you can fill me in on that. It looks like
weird.
It looks like the Cardinals are going to be 3.5-point underdogs at home against
okay.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
no, it's
said.
In L.A., so the Rams are 3.5-point favorites at home. So there must be some sort of injury in that game to keep this one off the board. I haven't heard any status on Kyler Murray.
Yeah, was he injured? Yes, he was injured.
Yeah.
He was injured on Sunday. That's right. They had, what's his name, Huntley?
Brett Hundley.
Brett Hundley.
That's right.
He actually finished the game against Seattle and looked great. He played the game of his life. So that's probably why Kyler Murray's probably on the injury report. The Rams obviously have nothing to play for. They've been eliminated from the playoffs. I don't know who's going to play for them. But yeah, I mean, Arizona's kind of played themselves out of the top four picks anyway. Mm-hmm. It looks like it's, you know, it's more like Detroit and the Giants, Washington and Miami. So, I mean, they'll still get a top five pick or something. But I don't know. I mean, Hundley looked good, but against that Rams front, if they start everybody, it might be a rough road. But he looked great against Seattle.
Yeah. I would probably lean to the underdog in this game, although this one kind of scares me because I've got under season win totals for Arizona, and I need them to lose to hit the 5.5. Mm-hmm. But even with Brent Hundley in there, if he does end up starting, I would probably lean to the Cardinals plus the points.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yeah, speaking of win totals, that Chargers debacle, losing losing against the Raiders killed my chance to push in that win total because they got over the 6. And then I think that the Miami's going to come in. They're at 4. I had them at 4.5 under. So hopefully, you know, the Pats will take care of business and they'll cash my ticket. But, yeah, kind of a rough year for the win totals.
Really?
Well, I did okay on some of them. I mean, obviously I had the Bengals. I mean, that was a clear winner. And then I guess I had Miami. We'll see if that cashes. But, you know, I thought some other ones like the Cowboys, for example, I thought 9 was a good total over, but not this year.
Yeah, we'll have to do a recap next couple of weeks.
Yeah, exactly. All righty. Well, that wraps up the episode, right? We've covered a lot, obviously, always a long episode. So we'll touch back again, I guess, next week. We decided to go back Thursday, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what we're talking
Correct.
About? We'll come back next Thursday, probably start on the Thursday schedule in the new year, a little bit more of a slant towards college basketball, which is exciting. And then obviously we still have some few more bowls to close out. And then, you know, we've got the wild card weekend, which is really exciting for the NFL. And then hopefully we'll win some tickets with these bowl matches.
Yeah, I like a lot of our picks. I can't wait to get down and watch some of these college football games. This coming week is probably one of the most fun of the year when you're talking college football. And then looking forward to the new year, getting into college basketball, and maybe see if we can work in some NBA nuggets here and there for our NBA fans on the podcast listenership.
Yeah, you mean Melissa, right?
Uh-huh.
I did forget one handicap. I'm not sure. I think, Saturday is the birthday party, a.k.a. the game night, the Weggs game night.
Ah, nice.
Some people have termed Weggs always wins party. I think I'm a heavy, like, minus 400, you know, money line winner here, but I have lost. I lost last year. It was the first time I've lost in the 5 years I've run the party. So, you know, could take some value with, you know, the field there. It's probably like a plus 700.
Well, we'll have to look and see if any offshore books are offering numbers on that contest.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. So, all right. Well, everybody, thanks for listening and have a happy new year. Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Good luck, everyone. That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.